Oftentimes we forget just how good God has been to us. And so it is a good reminder to us constantly to look back at what God has done, to remember. Matter of fact, tonight the Lord allows that I'll be preaching on that very subject, that victory. And looking forward to being with them, Brother C.T., and all the folks there in North Augusta. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to take a look. We're just going to tag team on our revival and where we have been at with our revival over the last week. And so we're going to take a look at that. And so Acts chapter number 1. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 4. And so we're going to take a look at the Acts of the Apostle, chapter number 1. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 4. Now, Acts follows up the Gospels. And we have the Gospels being the story of the life of Christ. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get to the book of Acts, there is a transition that is taking place. It takes place with a visitation from God. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in the book of John that he would leave, but he said that I will not leave you comfortless. Though I may go, he said, I will send somebody to you. Of course, we know that the promise that Jesus was making was that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has gone to the cross. Now he has paid the sin debt for all of mankind. He has been buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. You and I celebrated that 2 Sundays ago on Resurrection Sunday. The world calls it Easter, but it's not Easter. It is Resurrection Sunday. It's a day that the world celebrates that the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, He showed His authority over death, and he showed his authority over the grave, and he walked out of the tomb. We call it Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate it. The world calls it Easter, but those that are saved, we know what we celebrate, and it's not a bunny. Amen. It's not a gift basket with some chocolate in it and an egg. It's an empty tomb that you and I celebrate. It's a Savior who conquered that you and I celebrate. And so he's risen from the grave and he spends some time before he ascends in chapter number 1 of the book of Acts for good. He spends some time and he visits the disciples. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he visited in this resurrected body. He was seen by more than 500. Can I get a witness right here? If you and I was standing around and somebody, we had 500 people telling us that they seen him, don't you think you could put some pretty good, I need some help right here. You could accredit that pretty good and say, yeah, they probably did. And so Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's verse number 3. Now we get into our text, verse number 4. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them. Who's with them? Jesus. Come on, y'all help me. Who's with them? Jesus. And being assembled together with them. Commanded them. Who commanded them? Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. John, the passage of scriptures that I went over in John, he's saying, you've heard that I'll send a comforter. He said, now I'm commanding you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for that comforter. All right? That promise of the Father. He says in verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now all the conservative Baptists just gasped, because Holy Ghost was in the Bible. Is everybody all right? But Jesus said, hey, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, they wanted to know, Jesus, you're the Messiah. We know you're the Messiah. When are you going to set up the kingdom? What they were interested in was the millennial reign. What they were interested in was Jesus sitting on a throne and Israel being restored to her power and God, Christ, ruling the world. That's what they were interested in. You got to remember, just a few weeks prior to this, they were all fighting over who would be the greatest among them. And now it is near the end. Jesus is fixing to ascend into heaven. He's fixing to be gone from them for good. And the question that they had is, when are you going to set up this kingdom? We read about it in the Old Testament. Now, this ought to wake us up, because they knew their Bible enough, they knew God's word enough to know that the Messiah would sit on an actual throne and rule. He would restore Israel back to her glory days, if you will. They had an understanding of Scripture. So they asked him, when are you going to do this? And his response, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Man, he said, don't worry about that. But he added to it. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. In other words, I'm going to leave you with something to do. You just take care of that and don't worry about when it's all going to be over. Oh, I'm getting there. Is everybody with me? He says, which the Father hath put in his own power. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. This is what he's saying. The Father has that covered. He'll take care of that part of it. You need not worry. Let's go to verse number 8. But ye shall receive, everybody say it with me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be what? Let's say that again. And ye shall be unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now there's many of us that we've picked out of that verse what we think God has decided for us to reach. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Y'all didn't help me quote when I said Jerusalem. Y'all didn't help me quote when I said Judea. Somebody might have helped me when I said Samaria, but almost everybody, by the time I got to the uttermost, y'all was quoting with me. Why? Because the uttermost is easy. I'm not there. Oh, y'all better help me this morning. The uttermost is easy because I'm not the one that's there. Oh, I can reach the uttermost. I'm just not going there. I can do that by writing a check. I can do that by praying. I can reach the uttermost because that ain't, I need some, y'all all right? But the Bible says, and ye shall be what? Let me say it again. And ye shall be what? Who's got a red letter Bible? Let me ask you this. Look, starting in verse number 9. Don't go to verse number 9. Don't go there. This is the last verse. We're going to read through verse 11, but just stay right here right now. That verse right there. What color is it in? Look at verse number 9. Through the rest of the book of Acts, what color is the writing? So, what I'm trying to say, maybe you picked up on it. This was the last thing Jesus said to them. The last thing. Of everything that could have been said to them, the last thing that Jesus said to them was, ye shall be. All right, is everybody with me? As we've looked at this morning, let's read verse 9, 10, 11, and we'll get into this thing, and I'll get you out of here. I promise you, I'm not going to keep you long. The Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, he's coming back. In other words, he was received into a cloud. He's coming back on a cloud. In other words, you need to go and do what he instructed you to do. Because before long, he's coming back. The reason Jesus didn't give him a time is because he knows how you and I treated our schoolwork. He knows that if you and I were given a deadline, I need somebody to help me. If you and I was given a deadline, we would wait till the last possible moment. We would wait till the last possible moment. Jesus, you coming back on May the 3rd? Of 2000, what day is it? The first? You coming back on May the 3rd of 2022? All preachers will be in the building. Hey, Jesus is coming back Tuesday. We got to get some work done. We've been sitting around here. We've been waiting. But we got to turn in our assignment Tuesday. We don't get a grace period. Right? Boy, ain't. You think he had some wisdom? I think the Bible says he is wisdom. Can I go ahead? I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this morning and realize, go back to verse number 8 if you will, that this entails the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world, teach, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things that Jesus has taught us. Right? Y'all help me. Bible says we have a promise with that. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so you and I have a promise that he is with us, even though he's not here physically. We have a commission. We have a command. We have orders. The last thing that Jesus wanted out of you and I was to be witnesses. Somebody, Mr. Gibson, David Gibson, which Brother Malcolm mentioned several times, but Brother David Gibson, he said this. He was afraid that the Great Commission had become rather the great omission of the church. He said that he was afraid that the Great Commission had become the great omission of the American church. Everybody with me? So, preacher, how can we? Because it ain't easy. Come on, y'all, help me now. It ain't easy to talk to somebody about Jesus. Y'all going to have to help me or I ain't going any further. Let's just get real honest about it. We talk about everything else in the world, but when it comes to talking about our faith, it gets real hard. You want to talk about football? Let's talk about football. You want to talk about hunting? Let's talk about hunting. You want to talk about going fast and driving? Whatever, let's talk about it. But whoa, when somebody says, hey, tell me your testimony. I talked to somebody not long ago, and I said, hey, tell me your testimony. Well, I'm saved. I got that. Tell me your testimony. I went to church and I got saved. Why is it so hard for us to tell somebody about the greatest thing that ever happened to us? Come on, I need some help. Teenager, why is it so difficult? Talk about everything else at school. Talk about her looking at him when she shouldn't have been looking at him because he was with somebody else and shouldn't have been with somebody. I need somebody to help me. Amen. It's easy to talk about things that ain't got nothing to do with God, but as soon as you start talking about the things of God, all of a sudden it's like somebody's got a hold of our tongue. It weighs about 5 pounds. Start slurring. I need somebody to help me. If there was a cop around, you'd be taken to jail. Slurring words. I know, too close. Y'all quiet down back behind me, all right? This was the heart of God, as we learned Monday night. We learned Monday night that it was a condition of our heart. We were asked the questions. How many of you wrote them down? I'm moving quickly. But I wrote them down. It says, what bothers you the most? What bothers you the most? Who the president is? Boy, I mean, come on, y'all. I need that was like a gut punch. What the gas prices are? What bothers you the most? His heart was people. His heart was people. And he came to die for all. And he asked us to tell them all. And yet, we're bothered by everything but the fact that people are dying and going to hell. I wrote this down. What do you think about the most? Man, when he said that, come on, Lauren, help me out. As soon as he said it, I was like, but you know what? It was funny. But it ain't what I think about the most either. Another gut punch. Gut punch number two. Then he threw another one. These are just questions he asked. What is most valuable to you? Let's not even go there. Y'all get mad and say, I want money. Then the last one, what do you talk about the most? It's the big one. Some of y'all get that. You kids ain't got a clue. What do you talk about the most? So if I'm diagnosing my heart, I was already Monday night, I was like, oh, I'm in a bad place. Then we got to Tuesday night and he says, hey, talking about the disciples in John chapter number 4, he sent the woman, he didn't send her.
She got saved, left her water pot, went back into Samaria. The disciples are coming back from Samaria. They said, hey man, why don't you eat some food? Jesus said, I sent you. I sent you. Dude, I don't know how many of y'all got that, but it was eating on me. I sent you to reap where you have not labored. In other words, all I asked you to do, I sent you to go in there and reap what's already been prepared, and you came back with nothing but physical needs. And here come that woman with the whole town behind her. And the Bible says that they all believed because of the sayings of the woman. Listen, listen. He said, I sent you and you didn't do it. Look what happens if just one would go and do it. Whole town got saved. Boy, I tore up. Then we got to the last night and we're talking about a demoniac. And man, I don't know about you, but Jesus saved him. He was saved. He was clothed. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And he wants to get on the boat and go with Jesus. Who wouldn't? And Jesus said, nope. Y'all. I mean, the church has done our best to get people to follow Jesus. I mean, I don't know a preacher that wouldn't take the demoniac after he was saved. Not before. But after he was saved, he wanted to follow Jesus. I don't know of one pastor that wouldn't say, man, give me all the demoniacs that'll follow Jesus. Listen. Jesus said, no. Go home. Go home. We got church services at 7 o'clock. We got church on this. No, this is what he told him. Go home. And tell them what great things God has done for you. Oh my goodness. Tell them. Stay with me. I'm about done. Not really. Go home and tell them. Romans 3:23. Yes. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. He didn't tell him that. Don't. Y'all stay with me. He didn't tell him that. Go home and quote to them Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go home and quote to them Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go home and quote to them Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go home and quote to them John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Go home. Is everybody all right? You know what he said? Go home and tell them what happened to you. And you know, in that whole story, though he was talking to the Word of God, I never seen the Word of God opened up. I never seen a Bible open. Is everybody with me? Stay with me now. So this week we have been challenged to do what? Go and tell, to be a witness. And the last thing that Jesus said to us, the last words, him on earth, ye shall be witnesses. Listen, just for a moment, I'm going to give you four things, and I'm four, that's it. I ain't going to do sub points. Are y'all ready? Number one, don't go without God. Did everybody catch that? Let's go back and look at verse number 4 and verse number 5. Miss Tracy, if we can. Verse number 4 and verse number 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should... Say it, y'all. Come on, help me now. Not depart from Jerusalem, but for the promise of the Father. In other words, this is what he says. Don't try to be a witness. Don't try to go and do without God. Y'all, we got to get this. Because there's too many of us that are running around running an opportunity to witness to somebody else because we have taken the gospel and we've used it as a weapon. And we've run at people with this. Hey, if you died right now, where would you go? I don't know, but if you don't get out of my face, I know where you're fixing to go. Can I get a witness? I mean, that stuff don't work. What does work is what Jesus told them. Go back and wait. And when the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then you will have power. And you and I know that verse to be true. You and I know that when we get saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost comes upon us. I need somebody to help me right here. And you and I receive power to share our story. So if we're not sharing the story, then it is our flesh that is keeping us from doing it. It is our flesh that's keeping us from doing it. Don't go without God. Listen to me. Somebody hear me. There's somebody out there that needs to know about Christ. And you have a story. And you have the power to share it. But don't go without God. Don't do it in the flesh. Number two, don't get distracted. Look at verse number 6 and verse number 7 with me, if you will. We'll read verse number 6 and 7. And when they therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what will thou at this time, or wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were worried about things that were beyond their control. I need somebody to help me right here. If there's anything that the devil has mastered in all the years of mankind, it is this: distracting us. Getting us focused on things that don't matter. Getting our attention away from things that do not matter. Hey, listen here. What job that you are so distracted by? If they decided to let you go tomorrow, they would hand you a piece of paper and show you the door. Never to be seen again. Never to be heard of again. And yet, you will spend all your waking hours worried about that job, working to fulfill that job, and it does not matter. I ain't telling you to quit your job. I'm just telling you don't be distracted by it. What's important? I need somebody to help me. Look here, I'll preach fast, but you're going to have to help me. What's important? Mama, I need to know what's important. What's important? Is your job more important than watching one of your kids put their faith and trust in Christ? Daddy, I need some help. Daddy, you're going to have to help me now. I need some help, Daddy. Help me out right here. What's more important to you? Seeing your children saved? Watching a ball game? Sitting in a tree stand? Out on the lake fishing? Oh, well, I can do both of those, really. How successful you been at all that? I'm not telling you to give up hunting. Lord, help. I would never cuss anybody like that. I'm not telling you to give up fishing. I'd never cuss anybody like that. I'm not telling you to give up activities. I'm just saying as you and I go, we have a responsibility that's far greater than hunting, fishing, or whatever else you want to add into that. Don't get distracted. People are dying and going to hell. And you and I have the story that'll save the life. Don't get distracted. Number three, Don't forget your purpose. Kind of goes hand in hand with not getting distracted. If I don't forget my purpose, if I understand that I have a purpose, and that purpose is verse number eight, Miss Tracy, to be a witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If I understand that my purpose in life is that right there, can I share some things with you? I better not leave the platform. I got to talk to somebody here recently, struggling. And we've all been there. And what turned that whole conversation around was when we identified purpose in their life. Y'all stay with me. When we identified purpose in their life, everybody struggles to a degree. Some far worse than others. Some battle depression right here in this church like you ain't got a clue unless you've been through it. But that particular conversation changed when we identified purpose. And it wasn't purpose in a secular sense. It was purpose right there. Literally, right there. When you and I realize that God has a purpose for our life. Brother Edwin, there's somebody that the only person they'll talk to about their faith is you. Me and you talked about a guy recently. Me and you had a conversation about a guy recently. That very thing. The only person, he didn't entrust it to anybody else. Not a preacher, not a Sunday school teacher. He doesn't go to our church. The only person that he would talk to his faith about was Brother Edwin. Brother Edwin, don't mean to pick on you, but do you reckon that your whole purpose right now is to be a witness to that one man? He may be gone tomorrow. I hope I'm all right, because we've all got that man in our life. Everybody's got that man in their life. Guy ain't going to feel comfortable talking to me because I'm the preacher. And I might, listen, not meaning to speak over his head, because he's not real knowledgeable about the things of God. But an old redneck. I got them all over the place. I ain't no need to point them out. They are everywhere. He sit there and say, you know what? I mean, I ain't got the words. y'all ain't heard that. Listen, I ain't even got the words. But I can tell you this. My life was incomplete. My life was empty. My life was in turmoil. And somebody told me about Jesus. And I put my faith and trust in Him. And my life has been made complete. I'm no longer in turmoil. I'm at peace with God. If I die today, I know beyond a shadow of doubt where I'd go, I'm at peace with God. How many wants that? Amen. I'm at peace with God. No turmoil anymore in my life. Now my life has a purpose. You can do that. And you may get the opportunity to do that with somebody that would never talk to me about it. You have purpose. Lastly, I'm done.
don't go without God. Number two, don't get distracted. Number three, don't forget your purpose. Number four, don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. Now, we could go back up there because, I mean, if we went back up there, we could look at it and we could say, well, you know, we go ask questions. Well, God, when's this going to happen? When is that going to happen? Because if we know when it's going to happen, then we can wait till the last moment. See, what we're looking for is those people on their deathbed. But the fact is that what the world doesn't realize is that those that are without Christ are on their deathbed. And any moment they can take their last breath. And you and I have a story. And if it's not told, you and I may be the very reason that somebody dies without Christ. So don't procrastinate. What if your best friend? What if your best friend got in a car accident before this evening? Now, preacher, don't be scaring us. We need to be scared. Somebody needs to be woke up. The church needs to wake up. Because meeting together, while I enjoy it, and I'm glad that y'all all come, and I love all y'all, and I am so glad that you are here. If it was all about the church, Brother Sheldon, if it was all about the church, don't you think that Jesus would have told the demoniac where to go? Now, I want you to go to the First Baptist Church of Decapolis. And you let the preacher there know that this was what happened to you. Hey, and you be there now every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for church, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock for Bible study, every Wednesday night for prayer meeting. You be at church. And yet he tells him, you can't go with me. Go home. Go home and tell him all what happened to you and who did it. What happened to you and who did it? Say it with me. What happened to you and who did it? My goodness. We could turn the world around. Amen. Turn the world upside down, as the Bible says it, by telling people what happened to me and who did it. Let me do it over here. Y'all were a little slow. By telling the world. He got quick on it. Before, that's like one of them Steve Harvey deals where they buzz in before he gets finished answering the question or asking the question. That's him right there, brother. He's like, I ain't going to get caught again. But here's what we do. We tell him what happened to us and who did it. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you realize you have the Holy Spirit? You have the power to do what God's asked you to do. So if it isn't being done, it's because your flesh is overruling. This morning, Dalton's, we're done. Told you, I'm not preaching that long. Dalton's coming to that piano. We have a purpose. What's our purpose? To be witnesses. Now, let's be honest. Look at me. Everybody, don't look down at the floor. Everybody, stay right here with me just for a moment. Everybody's like, Lord, please let me close my eyes. Let's be honest. Everybody, look at me. Let's be honest. Have you been fulfilling your purpose? You ain't got to answer me. I just want you to look at me. I ain't asking you to answer me. I ain't asking you to embarrass yourself. I just don't want you hiding. Let's just be honest about it. If I was to go down every row and ask you, have you been fulfilling your purpose? Some of you, his heart right now is about to beat out of his chest. I said, Lord, please don't let him do this to me.
But have we? Choir, if I went down to choir, you know the choir. Preaching to the choir. They already shaking their heads, no. Hey, look here. Look at me. Everybody look at me. I ain't either. I ain't done it either. I ain't been the witness that I should be either. So how do we fix it? Got to get this right. Can't get distracted. Can't get distracted. We got to keep in mind why we're here. We can't procrastinate. Now you can bow your heads with me. The altars are open. And business should be being done. Let's find a place around the altar. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. There's plenty of room. Don't worry about it. We fill up the aisles. You can just lean on somebody. It doesn't matter. I have a purpose. And the sad thing is that in this day and time, we are so distracted. We're procrastinating. The two men that were standing by the disciples said, "Why stand you here gazing up into heaven? You got a job to do." He left you with instructions. Go do them. I wonder if somebody be honest with the preacher this morning. Listen, I need you to be honest. Say, "Preacher, I've listened this morning and I've heard parts of your story. I've heard preacher's story. But Brother Robbie, I don't have a story. Brother Robbie, I don't have a story. If I was to die right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity." If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I wonder if you'd just lift your hand right up. Not high. I'm not trying to embarrass you. "Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody like that?" Be honest, in the balcony, on the floor. All I'm asking you to do is be honest with me. Is there anybody like that? "Preacher, I need a story. I don't have a story of what Jesus did for me." Is there anybody like that? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we sure are thankful. Lord, that we can be challenged. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for a promise of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for a purpose. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help us today to get our lives where we need to be concerning you. To fulfill our purpose. Not get distracted. Not procrastinate. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we thank you for a wonderful time in church. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we go our separate ways to fulfill our purpose, to witness, Lord, to others. To tell them our story of what you did for us. Tell them what happened to us. Lord, who did it? Lord, we love you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.